Blog Talk Radio.
Right, wrong, and wellness.
Necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Greetings, and welcome everyone to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And you know, it's Truthful Tuesday, so on this day, we get to talk a little bit louder about those things that may not necessarily be discussed in open environments, and we do it with a lot of pleasure and with a lot of forethought to be able to educate the public on those things that are perhaps a little bit more straight to the point without a whole lot of twists and turns and prettying up. So thank you for being with us. And each Tuesday, each and every Tuesday, I am blessed with the absolute most prolific speakers anywhere on this planet Earth. And tonight is no different. We actually have Sister Karima Medina Bilal that is returning with us for part two of her home, hospital, and kitchen clinic. The tools of the trade is what we're talking about tonight. And so she is already off the chart, and she's been beaming since way early today. So it's always a pleasure to have people that are so involved and so in love, actually, with what they do to help humanity as a whole, that they just bursting at the sides to share it. So she'll be coming up shortly. But, you know, there's a couple of things that we do in preparation to before we have our speaker to come to the microphone. And so the first thing that we do is we always make sure to pay homage and give thanks and all the love that we can to our ancestors, because they're always with us. They're with us at our beck and call. And I know they got us on Tuesday because they've been waiting for such a time as this where people step up to the mic and tell the truth and stop the falsehoods. We're not going to call it anything else other than that. But, you know, to bring some truth around some of this stuff that's happening, we get so confused with a lot of things that are being told to us all the time. So ancestors, thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we love you. Ashe, ashe. The next thing we do is we anchor ourselves in affirmative reading or prayer, or just something to kind of shake loose the webs from the day, from all the hassle and the rushing here and rushing there, trying to get things done, just to exhale before we get into the receiving of the message from our speaker tonight. And so today's message is simply entitled Wellness. Wellness is emotional, physical, and spiritual. So how is your level of wellness today? I allow myself to release all non-essential emotional baggage. I carry a light load of happiness and joy. My bags contain only essential items of love, harmony and cooperation. I pack my bags with compassion and mercy. I carry an ample supply of gratitude and thanksgiving. My bags pass all the security checkpoints. I am physically fit and improving daily. I exercise my body to be flexible and adaptable to life's requirements. As I sit, I stretch the muscles in my legs. While I type on the computer, I tighten and release my neck and shoulder muscles. I rotate my head and feel the tension release. I roll my shoulders and enjoy the relaxation to enter this area. I walk as often as I can. I breathe in the awesome air and allow it to circulate in my body. I reach towards the sky, giving thanks, and exhale as I bend forward. I receive the breath of the Creator circulating in every cell of my body. Ashe, ashe. So those are, that's one of my collection of daily inspirational messages that can be found at RevSandy.wordpress.com. And you're always more than welcome to go and sign up to have that automatically delivered to your email inbox every day. Again, that's RevSandy.wordpress.com. All right. Whew. It's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. Again, our show tonight is called Your Home Hospital and Kitchen Clinic Part 2. We're talking about the tools of the trade with our dear, dear sister, Karima Medina Bilal. And I tell you, she is on fire. And she has been, ever since I've spoken with her a couple of hours ago. It may have been the whole day. Heck, it may have been since she was on our show the last time, last month. But I tell you, I just love her energy, and I get so pumped up just talking to her. So we're going to kind of just go through the necessary housekeeping items, and then we're going to bring our featured speaker on. And make sure that you grab a pen and a piece of paper, because we have some exciting, exciting, exciting news to tell you, something you may want to be a part of too. So, audience, you know you're invited to join in our discussion. And we, our intention is to include all comments so that every voice is heard. Our call-in number here to the show is 516-531-9819. You would simply press 1 on the dial to alert us you want to speak live on air with us. We have had some issues with sound quality, so you may be disconnected if you've got all of these other devices going at the same time, because that really does distort the quality. And so I have had to call a couple of people personally, but if your line is open to be able to share, please do that and then mute your phone. Just mute your phone, that's all. Otherwise, you may be cut off from the rest of us. So, again, thank you for being with us tonight. And I know that we've got one heck of a show coming up, and we appreciate you for being with us. We're going to take a real quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to bring our dear sister, Karima Medina Bilal, to the microphone and let her just pour into you what she didn't get to last month. All right. We'll be right back, you guys. Thank you for being with us tonight. call them the elements, earth, wind, and fire. And that just seems so appropriate, gratitude. You know, this thing we call life, and we don't have to be living it. There's a lot of people that are not here right now. That's why we give homage to the ancestors in the very beginning. But welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And I can't wait to get started into the show tonight because it's part two, which means that we didn't finish part one, right? That everything wasn't said there. The name of tonight's show is Your Home Hospital. I'm going to say that, Our Home Hospital and Kitchen Clinic, the tools of the trade. And this is my for real, heavenly sister, Karima Medina Bilal. And I tell you, every time I talk to her, my energy level just soars to out the stratosphere. And so she's a proponent of the functional medicine approach to disease. And what that looks like is determining the root causes of disease, which seems to be like a foreign concept when you talk to a lot of allopathic doctors, instead of merely drugging the system and the symptoms rather. And so when you do your research and you start looking at some of this, you know that you can't really blame the doctor because what they're taught is what prescription to write to drug the symptom, right? And so we do have several thousands and thousands of doctors that are not doing that, and they're looking because they got into medicine for a whole different reason. So Sister Karima says she's here tonight to discuss the actual mechanics of caring for your body the way a provider would. So we want to make sure we get the tools that we need for our health and healing. And again, more towards the end of the show, we've got an incredible opportunity to announce to you to be a part of, but we're going to wait till we get there. Yep. I'm going to make you wait. So, Sister Karima, are you with me tonight, darling?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you for being with us yet again. I am so excited.
Excited to be here, Sister Sandy. Thank you for those kind words. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you're welcome.
It is said that every kind word is a charity. And if we take that to heart, you just gave a humongous donation to me, and I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Glad to feed into you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, shall I dive right in?
Let's do it. Okay. We got some anxious people on the phone, yeah.
Well, I'm praying. I'm praying that the words that I say will be words that will help everyone who hears them. My intention is to do right. My intention is to do good, and I ask the source of all good intentions to imbue me with the spirit of truth and to bless me to be a channel for whatever divine wisdom, whatever wisdom from the Most High, from the source of all healing, may I be a clean vessel for that and speak accurately words of health and healing. As Sister Sandy was so kind to say, I am Karima Medina Bilal, and I'm going to be reading to you and sharing with you words from my forthcoming book, still in process, soon to be completed, which is called Medicine, Health, and Healing, Your Home Hospital and Your Kitchen Clinic. So I'm pleased to share with you some advance. You're getting the advance info on that, or the advance sample of that. But first, we have to do the disclaimer. And the disclaimer is this. The information that I'm going to share in this presentation cannot and does not in any way constitute a provider-patient relationship between me, the speaker, and you, the listener. All material that I share with you is intended solely for educational purposes. I encourage you and I specifically instruct you, the listener, to research and to confirm all the content that I present to you. I further urge you to consult with your medical provider before you make any decisions regarding your personal health. Any actions that are taken by you, the listener, are taken purely at you, the listener's discretion, and you, the listener, assume any and all risks or the consequences of your own actions. So that out of the way, let me review for those listeners who either forgot what they heard or weren't able to be with us for part one. Why should you have your home hospital and your kitchen clinic? Isn't the system that serves us enough? Well, perhaps you did not know that in the United States, medicine is a business and healthcare is an industry. They're part of a system that's run by private corporations whose primary interest is profit, self-interest, and self-preservation by any means necessary. Your health, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, is a publicly traded commodity for which these corporations compete. Now, for the public, this presents an inherent conflict of interest. Therefore, as a patient and a consumer who is directly affected by the actions of this system, your primary concerns must also be your own self-interest and your own self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
To do otherwise will put you at a distinct disadvantage. Because after all, if you do not look after your own interests, my friends, who will? Who benefits when you are well? Who suffers when you are sick?
Mm-hmm.
Something else I'd like to remind you of. It is your responsibility and your right to care for your own body and those over whom you have charge to the best of your ability. This is especially important right now, my friends. Incredulous as it sounds, the pharmaceutical, medical, and healthcare industries, all of which profit from your health and your sickness. Hear me. They profit from your health and from your sickness. They seek to possess your body and rob you of that right and all rights over it. Leave us remember, I beg you, remember, that these are inalienable rights endowed by God the Creator, given to all human beings. They are not conferred by man. They are conferred and given free of charge by your Creator. The situation of the present sickness attempts to force you to do things that you might otherwise not want to do against your will. And in the face of evidence of harm, we call this extortion in other circumstances. Therefore, you must guard and protect your right to care for your own body and those over whom you have charge, and you must increase your knowledge and understanding of how to protect your health, prevent sickness and disease, and heal your body when necessary. If you expect or depend upon those who profit from your ignorance to educate you This is pure folly, and it's an invitation to disaster. You must educate yourself. And that's where I come in. That is what I have been sent to this medium, this channel, this opportunity, this platform to help you with. So here's a review of a few basic principles. I will be brief so that I can dive right into solutions. And that is, you must remember this. This is the basis of taking care of yourself. Lifestyle plus genetics will give you either chronic disease or long life and health. The medical system pushes the narrative that it's your genetics that cause chronic disease. Now, if you subscribe to that, it makes you a victim of your genetics, mm-hmm. and that makes you powerless to change mm-hmm. them. But the fact of the matter is, much of the damage that people do to their bodies is done by diet and lifestyle, both of which can trigger a genetic predisposition that you might have. Now, I didn't make this up. I'd love to have you think that this came out of my head, but it didn't. Hippocrates, widely regarded as the father of medicine, he said 8,000 years ago, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. Everything you put into your body is a choice that you're making to either promote health or promote disease. And the good thing is, you get to choose which one. At least right now we do.
For sure.
Freedom is something that must be guarded. Just like a garden, just like a farm, if you don't pull out the weeds, you go to sleep, you wake up the next day, and your crops have been overrun with pests. So let me also review a few basic principles of health and healing. I got these from reading a book from Dr. John Tilden, The True Origins or the True Causes of Disease. Dr. John Tilden, you would serve your personal education very well to get that book. It goes back, I think, to the 40s, maybe before that. And this man, as far as I'm concerned, has his finger right on the pulse, right at the foundation of how you heal yourself. Yeah, he flew in the face of the medical establishment at that time. So we're not the first ones to appear on the battlefield. But what I'm telling you is extracted from his book. All living things are created to exist in a certain medium or environment that is suited to their life. Examples of this. Fish were excellently created to live in the ocean. Cactus is excellently suited to thrive in the desert. Human beings are excellently created to thrive on land. Now, we can exist for a little while in water, but that's not what we were designed to do. We are land creatures. And so when you provide organisms or creatures with that environment for which they were created to thrive, then they will. That's why fish do very well in the ocean. And furthermore, to show you how elegant the Creator is, there are some creatures that are created to live in salt water. There are other creatures which are fish, ocean water-dwelling creatures, that are created to live in fresh water. So when you deprive them of that environment, then they will either adapt or they will die. So, example, right now, as we sit listening to this broadcast, courtesy of Sister Sandy, go ahead, Sandy. We are comfortable. We are, I hope, comfortable. We have climate control, so we are not too hot. We're not too cold. We have fresh air to breathe. We have light. Now, if we change that environment, you're going to we will change our behavior. I want you to see just how simple it is when you put it in language and give it a context that people can understand. When you change the environment of an organism, you change its behavior, right? So if all of a sudden the power goes out and we're sitting in the dark, we're going to not sit here. We're going to get up and try to figure out what happened to make that power go out and try to reintroduce light. If it gets especially cold, we're going to put on some sweaters or we're going to do something to get warm. And if all of a sudden the air that we're breathing should become very smoky or should become acrid or it should have particles in it that make us cough, trust and believe we're going to get up and try to get fresh air. Now, this is very interesting. If you can just play with that concept for a moment. Change the environment of an organism, you change how it behaves. Organism that's causing the present sickness was changed from what it was in nature, and there are some who say it didn't exist in nature. It was created, and there are others who say that it existed in bats, in wet market animals, pantherines, and somehow it got changed from that environment to be able to thrive in humans. Hence, we have the present sickness causing the present crisis. Hmm. Interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I continue. In the living body, there is a continuum of life and death, a dynamic balance that must be maintained for health and survival. Now, this is very important. Walk along. Let me walk you through this. In our bodies, every cell has its function. It was given its function by the one who designed us and created us. Some of these cells are builders. What do? They maintain, they rebuild, and they protect. There's another balance to that, or you could say a counterpart to that, called the demolition crew. Demolition crew breaks down, recycles, and removes. Now, the demolition crew is not bad. If we did not have organisms within us, such as your gut biome, you've heard that phrase bandied about many times in present media, your biome, your gut bacteria, these are a whole nation. Each of us is a president that rules over the nation in our gut. These are the demolition crews that break down the food that we eat and release the nutrients that are within it, and thereby anything that's not used gets dumped into the intestinal tract, the colon, and gets ushered out of the body. Without those, we could not survive. We could not live. So likewise with old cells, your average red blood cell lives for 120 days. And at that time, your body, the demolition crew, removes it from circulation, sends it to the spleen, sends it to the liver. It's broken down. What can be used is recycled, and what is waste gets discarded. Same thing with bone cells. bone cells, break down old bone cells, build up new bone cells. So there's a dynamic tension between those two. Now, here's where it gets interesting. In order to maintain life and health and healing, for healing to occur, the conditions must favor the builders. When the conditions flip and favor the demolition crew, sickness, very important to know. So everything that we do, remember I said everything that we do is a choice to either foster health or by default you're fostering disease. This becomes very, very important now that the holiday season is upon us and we're going to be eating a whole bunch of stuff that it could be said we ain't got no business eating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. 2 years is going to come, and people are going to, don't take my word for it. Notice how many policemen are on the roads now, at least down here where we live. The state troopers and the local police are very much in force. And why is that? Because of Christmas parties, and people will be drinking. And that mm-hmm. does not count. That's encouraged. That's what eggnog is. That's what hot toddies and things of that sort are, which in moderation for those people who choose to imbibe is no big deal. But there will always be people who overdo and tip things in favor of intoxication instead of just a mild relaxation feeling. Hmm? Same thing with food. We did it at Thanksgiving. And it's going to happen again, all with the Christmas parties, and especially New Year's Day, and then there's Kwanzaa, and then after that, there's going to be Valentine's Day, and after that, it's going to be St. Patrick's Day. And it's an ongoing bacchanal where people are encouraged to overindulge. And when we do that, we set the stage for diabetes, for sugar intoxication. That's a whole other discussion about diabetes. But essentially, diabetes is sugar poisoning, not just once. You can get away with it if you only did it the holiday season. You can get away with it. But we are encouraged through advertising to consume like that all the time. You can't eat just one. You see? And that sets the stage for what they call comorbidities. What is that, Karima Medina-Bilal? Well, if you poison yourself with sugar and starch, and you do that day in and day out for years at a time, what you will do is set the stage for the demolition crew. And then you'll get diabetes or metabolic syndrome or obesity. And then what happens? We've now created conditions in which the demolition crew, bacteria, fungi, yeasts, viruses, can thrive. And then along comes the sickness. And then people start dying. Why? Well, it's not well known that 45 minutes after you eat sugar, your white blood cell count, which is your military, your protection team, it decreases and decreases significantly. Imagine that goes on every day, day in and day out. And this is why the people who are dying from the sickness are people who have underlying diabetes, underlying obesity, comorbidities. So, one more principle, and then I'll jump right into the solution. Every moment of every day, life as we know it is conducted at the level of the cell. We eat stuff, we drink stuff, we breathe air, but it is at the level of the cell that the work is done. There are trillions of cells in the body. And each one, it's amazing to see how elegant it is, each one conducts the process of taking energy, using it for maintenance, growth, and repair. And then wastes are produced as a result of that process, and they must be removed at a certain rate. Disease conditions occur when waste products accumulate faster than they can be removed.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to Dr. Tilden, what we experience as sickness is really a waste removal crisis. And healing, according to those who understand and practice the natural healing arts, is the process of restoring that balance between waste production and waste removal. Now, anybody who's ever exercised knows precisely what I'm talking about. You may not understand the underlying physiology of it, but here it is. When you exercise, your muscles use energy, glucose. In the process of burning that, there is something produced called lactic acid. Now, this is produced every day, all day, that we're alive in the course of normal events. However, after exercise, the products, the waste products, the lactic acid builds up faster than the body can eliminate it. And so what happens, you get muscle soreness, you get muscle stiffness, you get inflamed muscles for about 2 to 3 days until the body can get rid of it. Now, there are things we can do, of course. You can take saunas, you can do Epsom salts, you can do massage. All of these things help do what? Help the body eliminate the waste. So, let me reiterate, healing is the process of restoring that balance between waste production and waste removal. If we can master that and master the art of eating and living without creating excess waste in amounts that the body has trouble eliminating, then we can master health and healing. Now we press on to your kitchen clinic, your home hospital, and the tools of the trade. Yes, because to the extent possible, you want to take control of your health. And how do you do that? You do it the same way that providers do it. Everybody has to learn somewhere from somebody. Is this to say that you will instantly wake up and know everything that an experienced provider knows? Absolutely not. That's foolishness. However, if you begin the process of studying, if you'll become curious enough to start reading and start studying and take advantage of the wealth of information that's available to you online and through platforms such as this, you can definitely assess yourself, examine yourself, but you must have what? The tools of the trade. So, when you go into a provider's office, what are you asked to do? Well, you're going to fill out a chart. You, did you know it, can have your own chart. And indeed, you must, you should have your own chart. Well, what's in that? Your health history. What's that? That's all the times you were hospitalized. That's all the times that you had any kind of surgery or any kind of accident, any kind of serious illness that had a definitive effect on your health. You should write this down. There are some people who go so far as to put it on a flash drive or thumb drive, the things that all your information is reduced, a whole chart. It's reduced to a little thing that you plug into the computer, and it, some people have it as a chip. It should not be chipped by somebody outside of you. It should be a chip that you insert into a machine, not into your body. Don't allow anybody to do that. That sounds kind of Ray Bradbury and Ray Kurzweil, but believe me, that's being done. We laugh at it, but it's pretty scary if you think about it. However, what's the value of that? When you, it's possible when you go someplace that you might have an extensive history and you want it to be accurate. So if you write it down, it's there. It can be printed at will at your discretion. You own it. You contain it. And thereby, your information is easy for your practitioner or anybody else who has to care for you to read. This can be a notebook. This can be a file. Thank God for Staples. I don't get any promotional favors from them, but it's beautiful to be able to get office supplies so that you can make your information look very businesslike and very organized. Or you can ignore Staples and do like I do and go to Dollar Tree. thrift is real.
Yes.
So
yes.
What am I talking about? So you have a chart, and in that chart, here's a very important piece of information that you must have, and that is, who do you call in the event of an emergency? Who do you call? Who do you want notified in the event of an emergency? We all have smartphones now, and you should have in your contacts or on your screen a button that says ICE, ICE, in case of emergency. And there, every person that you want notified has a phone number and an email address. And this, I had reason to really appreciate how important this is, because it can happen that you faint, or you have a car accident, you fall down the stairs, X happens, and you can't speak for yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you have this information in your phone, somebody can retrieve it. I'll tell you how sweet it can really be. We live in North Carolina, and our son lives in Cary. He was at the gym, and he left his phone inadvertently. He didn't even know that he left it. He just thought it was lost. Well, thank God, some righteous person took it to the police. And the police came and attempted to return it. They went to our old, he had since moved, and a human being lived in that space now, and he told them, well, they moved, and here's the new address. And do you know that the police returned our son's phone? So this is not to say that there aren't bad people out there in the police force, but I can tell you down here in Cary, North Carolina, the police are human beings. They are definitely human beings. And that's just one example of the good things that they do. So much for generalizations. But the beautiful thing was, in its phone was contact. See? So remember to ice your phone. What else should you have in your chart? You should have something called My Five Wishes. I'm going to get serious, and I want you to see this in the best light, in its most effective light. MyFiveWishes.com, again, I receive no financial incentive from them whatsoever. It is simply a tool that I have found very useful. It is legal in every state, all 50 states, and it says, in the event that I am seriously, lethally injured, and I am unable to speak for myself, this is what I want to have done for me and with me. This should be in your chart. I have a file folder that says, in the event of my death. Now, my children initially thought that that was very morbid. And, oh, come on, Mom. You know, I said, no, this is very important for you to have because in the event of the strange and unexpected thing, your family, and into the emotional distress of having to see you ill or having to see you transition to the other side, now there's a whole bunch of technical stuff that has to be done. And it is misery. So if you take a few minutes and you take this, I think it costs maybe $10 to execute it or to download it, maybe $5, and you have that done, there is a freedom that will steal over you to know that this is done. I'm not going to be a burden where people have to say, oh, man, you know, this, would Mom want people jumping up and down on her chest? You know, at what point do you say, let her make her transition? Let the angels come for her. What would she want done? Mm-hmm. The time to do that is while you are able to speak, not when the crisis is upon you, especially in this present environment.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. My five wishes. Now, you've got your chart. You're writing down all the medicines that you take, the supplements that you take. Make it a point to do that. Now let's go on to what would the next thing your provider do for you if you were in his office. Well, they would take you and weigh you. This is the day of reckoning when all that partying from Thanksgiving till now and from Christmas forward and New Year's forward, this is when an accounting is done. Yes, you should have a scale in your house. You may think that you look the same. You may think that, well, it's just a little of this, and maybe my pants don't fit me quite as well as they once did. But when you get on that scale and you see that you put on 20, 30, 40 pounds over what your ideal weight should be, you know the numbers are very unemotional, and it's very sobering. So what should you weigh? Of course, there's a whole lot of discussion about that. I'm not talking about what appearance would dictate. I'm talking about what can your heart handle? What can your kidneys handle? What can your liver handle? And there's a rule of thumb. And the rule of thumb is whatever your height is, you get 100 pounds just for being 5 feet. And then depending on your ethnicity, notice I didn't say your race, I said your ethnicity, you can add anywhere from 5 to a maximum of 7 pounds for every inch over that. So let's say you have a person like myself and you're 5'6". So my ideal weight, I'm far from it, but my ideal weight should be 100 plus 6 times 5, 130. That's minimum. And maximum, I'm going to do easy numbers here and say 10 pounds for every inch over 5 feet. So that would make me 5'6", 6 inches times 10 pounds. That would my maximum should be 160. So anywhere between 130 and 160. Now that's a rule of thumb and a very rough way to estimate that. However, you can just go online. Beautiful thing about computers and phones. You can just go on there and say, what is the ideal height for, the ideal weight for a woman, ... And they'll give you a weight calculator. Another tool that you should have and that a really advanced medical office should have is a body fat percentage calculator. Now, why is that? Because you want to know how much of the weight that you're carrying is actually fat. Now, there are those of us who just say, well, I'm big boned. Well, no. I don't want to be the one to break it to you, but you might just be fat. How do you know? How do you know that? Well, a lot of doctors use something called a BMI, a basal body metabolic index. However, it doesn't take into account how much of you is muscle and how much of you is fat. So if you use the BMI, which is very, very commonly used in medical offices, somebody like Serena Williams would be considered overweight. And why is that? Because muscle is heavier than fat. So she could be muscular as all get out, but when she weighs herself and uses the BMI, which doctors use, it would show her as being overweight, and that would be absolutely wrong. So if you use a body fat calculator, and that's another website you can easily find online, or you can buy one, which is what I have, and you plug in your height, you plug in are you male or you female, you plug in your weight, and it calculates how much of you is fat and how much of you is muscle, bone, and water. And that is a very good index, a very good index. These are all things that you can do so that you are not at the mercy of current fashion trends. How many of us remember Twiggy? Diana Ross. You remember big eyes and skinny as all get out, and Diana Ross gave us the African American version of that. And now, of course, things have gone completely the other way, and we have such creatures as Lizzo, and that is really a mistake. And you have people who will say, well, if you comment that that represents obesity, which it most certainly does, then you're fat shaming somebody. So the tide shifts depending on who's running the narrative, but you cannot you cannot dispute basic numbers. Here's another thing that you can use, and that is measure your waist. It is commonly this is another tool for your trade. So far we've got a scale, we've got a body fat calculator. Inexpensive, less than $20, or website if you don't want to do that. You should have a tape measure. Now, tape measures are very good for a lot of things. You can get this at Dollar Tree. What does it do? When you measure your waist, which is that part where if you put your arms by your side, wherever your elbows touch your body, that is your natural waist. A lot of us that have the muffin top, yeah, we tend to measure your waist below that, but your anatomical waist is right there when you put your arms at your side, wherever the crook of your arm, where your arm bends, or if you bend to the side, that line where it bends, that is your natural waist. And here's something, again, that is commonly accepted, and that is if you're a woman and your waist is 35 and higher, that is overweight or obesity. If you're a man and your waist is 40 or higher, that is overweight or obesity. And you want to check it. You want to do something about it before it gets out of hand. Yeah, why? Because every disease that you can think of has its roots in diabetes. What is obesity? It is the precursor to diabetes. Fat shaming, irrespective, we're not talking about what you look like. Remember, we're talking about being alive and being healthy. Mm-hmm. You should have. You should, your provider would take your temperature. You should have a thermometer in your house, a digital thermometer. Where do you get it? Dollar Tree. $1. And why should you have it? Because, number one, the old thermometers that used to have mercury, I remember having to hold that thing up to the light and try to I don't think you could even find them now. Let's be honest. I won't even go through the process. But you put it in your mouth and it beeps in about 90 seconds, and there's your temperature. Now, this, I think, is especially important in light of the current sickness. Why is that? Because according to the CDC, should you have a temperature, you spike a temperature, that is one of the signs of the sickness. So what is normal temperature? Well, normal temperature, thermometer under your tongue, should be 98.6. Now, you've got a little variation there. There are some people that are 98.4. People with thyroid conditions may go as low as 98.2, or people may go 98.8. Children, very frequently, 99. But when you start getting up into the hundreds, that's when you're in the yellow zone, the caution, the pay attention zone. So many people start to feel unwell when they're 100. By the time you're at 101, people frequently have headaches and body aches and even chills. Yellow zone, pay attention. By the time you're 102, 3, 4, that's definite consult. I would say you consult your provider or urgent care when you're 100, 101, but certainly when you're 102, 103, 104, that's urgent care. And if you're otherwise ill, that's ER. And if you're talking about children and your children start spiking 103, 104, that's ER. Okay, very important that you do that. I'm not functioning as your provider here. That is information that you can look up anywhere. Definitely check that out. So this is not put your cheek to somebody's forehead and say, oh, you're hot. This is not put your wrist on somebody's forehead. Why? If you call your provider, and many providers are doing telemedicine now, and you say, I don't feel well, I have a temperature. Well, if you can tell your doctor, I took my temperature just before the call, and my temperature was 99, one level of concern. You tell your provider that you took your temperature and it's 102, 103, that's a whole nother level of concern. And you give your provider a great tool, and you actually can decrease your own stress levels by knowing what should I do. You've got some guidelines. What's the second thing that you should have? A blood pressure machine. Now, thank God, you can go anywhere. You can go to Craigslist and get a blood pressure machine. Why do you need it? Because your temperature, your pulse, and your blood pressure are what are considered vital signs. These things give great insight into how well your body's functioning. Person has blood pressure, right? A person doesn't feel well, and you take their blood pressure, or you take your own blood pressure, and it is within what's called normal limits. Well, normal limits, again, you can look this up, make sure that you do, write it down, post it on your refrigerator or somewhere where you can see it. You can even put it in the same case. I actually have a medical bag, and you don't have to be a medical provider to have one. You can have it in one of those clear shoe boxes where everything that you would need for cough, cold, feel bad is right there in one place. And so you would have there, here's what temperature should be, or blood pressure. Well, it's generally accepted that normal blood pressure is somewhere between 120 and 1. You'll have two numbers, a top number and a bottom number. Top number should be, generally speaking, normal, healthy person. Adult, between 120 and 130. Second number, 60 to 80. Now, you check your blood pressure, and you can see that, and you can tell your provider, hey, I don't feel well, but I took my blood pressure, and my blood pressure is within those numbers. Again, your provider, we breathe a great sigh of relief because now we have information about how well you're doing. However, you take your blood pressure and you say, I feel really bad. I've got a headache. And you take your blood pressure and something like 180 over 100 or 180 over 200 over 120, something like that. That could go to the ER, people. And again, hypertension is called the silent killer. Why? Because you can be going along just fine and all of a sudden fall out with a stroke because your blood pressure reached the limits of what your body could handle. So these are things you should do on an ongoing basis. When I go to see my provider, I come with a little book. And you can do what I do. In this book, I have written down my blood pressure. If I'm coming to my provider because I feel bad, I've got all this information, and you can do it too. You may not know what it means, but you can look it up. Thank God for the internet. You can look it up. Huh? And the average blood pressure machine, and I urge you to get the digital kind. Now, here's one other caveat I want to give you on that. If you tend to be on the chunky side, you want to get the wrist one. So the average blood pressure machine goes around your upper arm. But if you're like me and you have chunky arms, then you have to make sure you get the extra large. Otherwise, when you take your blood pressure, it's going to be artificially elevated because the cuff is too small. So there's a lot of benefits. Yeah, because it'll freak you out totally. Yeah, and the same thing happens when you go to your provider's office. If they're using a regular-sized blood pressure cuff on Karen, who does yoga and has nice thin arms, and then comes and gets you or me, and your arms are chunky, then you have to say to them, could you please use the extra-size cuff? Retake it and use the extra-size cuff.
My blood pressure used to be slightly elevated at the doctor, and I was working with a personal trainer and having my blood pressure checked regularly, like 3 times a week. Every time I worked with a personal trainer, was never elevated until I got to the doctor's office. And so eventually I told him, I was like, either your equipment is not working properly, is faulty, or something else is going on. My blood pressure is not elevated. And so I started taking my own, just like you're suggesting, and I took my numbers and my blood pressure wrist machine in, and they were able to look at it and compare. And I don't know if they ever fixed it, but I just know that I didn't accept what they were telling me. So,
yeah, and there's something called the white coat syndrome. And the white coat syndrome is when you go to the doctor's office and you're afraid that the doctor's going to tell you that you have high blood pressure. And since your thoughts, especially fear thoughts or anxiety, stress thoughts, have an immediate, like within seconds, effect on your blood pressure and your pulse and make it go up, it is well documented that your blood pressure in the doctor's office is very likely not going to be the same as it is when you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to keep in mind. And if you have it written down and you have your record, that makes it, in the eyes of your provider, more valid. The other thing that you will see when you have your own equipment is your average blood pressure machine has a pulse function. So it's not only going to tell you what your blood pressure is, it's going to tell you what your pulse is. Now, this is also very important because the combination of your pulse and your blood pressure gives some very, very important information to the person who's evaluating you. So the average pulse, again, look it up, the average pulse is somewhere between 60 and 80. Athletes and people who train, it may be as low as 50. Now, if you're 70 years old and you don't train and your pulse is 50, I would consult your provider. That's a slow pulse. Or if you're 50 or if you're any age and your pulse is 100, that's something to be concerned about. Certainly 100, 120, 130, that's concerning. And these are all things that when you consult your provider, I repeat, when you consult your provider, this is very, very useful information. And this helps you in the current sickness environment decide, is it time for us to go to the ER? Is it time for us to consult a provider? Or is this something that we can afford to watch and wait? And there's one more thing that I want to make sure that you have that's just basic. It's called a pulse oximeter. Pulse oximeter. We call it pulse ox for short. What does it do? It's a little gizmo that you put on your finger. And when you turn it on, it's going to read the oxygen, how well oxygen is getting from your lungs and through to your tissues, out to your arms, out to your hands. And this is exceedingly important in the current sickness environment because one thing that we've noticed is that people who have the sickness tend to go from normal oxygen levels to low oxygen levels quickly. And that is very concerning. That's one of the features that really concern us because we've seen people, what we call decompensate, really fast, which you don't see in normal pneumonias or normal flus. You got a little time. But people go from okay to not okay with a quickness. So what's normal? Anything above 95, the low limit of that would be 95. And ideally, 98, 99, right? So there you have in your possession a means to evaluate yourself in the current environment of sickness, the sickness, and reassure yourself that, okay, cold, is this something I can afford to watch? Or is this something my child, my loved one, I under normal circumstances, you might have said, ah, you got a cold. We'll just, you know, give you some Tylenol, give you some, you know, cold remedies and wait it out. In the present crisis, sickness crisis environment, I think you have to be more prepared than that. So to have these basic tools of the trade, a thermometer, a blood pressure unit, a pulse oximeter, these are things which can truly help you and help you sleep at night, help you make better decisions. And the reason that you want to know what your height is and what your weight is because should it be something that your provider decides over the phone is something that you don't need to go to urgent care or the doctor for, or the ER for, the medication that they give you, body weight. So a person who is, let's say, 5'7" and weighs 120 pounds might not do as well with an exceedingly large dose of a medication as somebody who is 5'7" and weighs 200 pounds. Because it's without getting too technical, it's based upon your body weight. So you help your provider decide, well, I can go small, medium, or large with the dose. Okay, or especially if it's a child. Especially if it's a child. If they're going to give you an antibiotic, for example, it's definitely based upon how many milligrams per kilogram, don't get excited about kilograms and pounds, but body weight. So it's 10:15 now, and I want to know if, Sandy, are you going to pause for questions or shall I wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Yeah, because in your wrapping up, you may answer questions, and we'll ask for questions, and then we'll make the announcement about the upcoming event.
Mm-hmm. So here's my wrap-up. My wrap-up is that you can be and must be your own provider and interact with your professional, your medical professional. And the more you know about how your body works, when it's healthy, the better prepared you are to notice when things are not functioning properly. There are some other things, and we can actually go through a part three, because now I can tell you, when you've got your own chart and you've got your own tools of the trade, what your doctor also does, your provider also does, is order labs.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So are we really going to take it to the limit and find out, hey, I can order my own labs? Oh, joy, oh, rapture. Well, you can. And there are some basic labs that you would want to. As a matter of fact, I manage my own health. You can do the same. There are places, depending on where you live, where you can order your own labs. How about that? So
yeah.
If Sandy decides to bring me back for part three,
we're going to keep adding numbers. I know that.
Your home laboratory. Your home laboratory. Right? So I'd be pleased to come back. So let me just say that it has been a pleasure, as always, Sister Sandy, to be on your show. My prayer is that I have been of some service to the people who are listening, and any mistakes or missteps, shortcomings that were made, they are mine. And I ask the Creator's forgiveness for them, for any good that out of anything that I said. All the praise and all the credit goes to the Creator, whom I call Allah, whom you may, my Christian brothers and sisters might say God, others might say the Creator, but the source of all healing, the source of all creation. All the praise, all the thanks goes to that one. I want to also give my email address, and my email address is onesacredservice@yahoo.com. That's O-N-E, sacred, S-A-C-R-E-D, service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E, at yahoo.com. And on Sunday at 5, I will be speaking again. I have my show called The Journal of Significant Events. And this is where I review things that happened in the media and in the news that the average person may have been too busy to see. So that is at 5 p.m. And the call-in number for that, Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that number is 518-318-5275. I'll repeat it, 518-318-5275. And if you didn't get that, just I'm sure if you contact Sandy, she'd be pleased to give it to you, or you can email me at onesacredservice@yahoo.com. Thank you so much, Sandy, for letting me be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I tell you, you have provided so much information that is so extremely, extremely beneficial. I used to, and I mean, this have been maybe 30 years ago or so, I used to keep up with these certain numbers and, you know, my progress or not. From one doctor's visit to another, but somewhere along the line, I stopped doing it. So I truly, truly, truly appreciate you going over each one of the items that need to be in the medical bag. And I even like that you suggested using a plastic, a clear plastic shoebox for the items. One of the questions that I have is that should every family member have their own medical bag, or should it just, how would you decide who gets a bag and who doesn't?
What I do in my family, I have four shoe boxes. One is for cough and cold things. One is for cuts and bruises. Another one is for, you know, joints. If you get to be this age, you gotta have something for joints. So that's part of my home pharmacy. That's another broadcast. And in terms of my medical bag, there's no reason why people in the same family, the same household, can't use the same blood pressure cuff. If you choose to use the same thermometer, you just wipe it off with an alcohol swab in between. Mm-hmm. Although you could make a good case for each person having their own thermometer. Certainly, if you're dealing with children and infants, and you're going to do rectal thermometers, which I don't advise the average person to do unless you know what you're doing, definitely that one has to be separate. But they now have these thermometers that you just point at somebody's forehead, and there's no reason why that can't be used for everybody. So the short sentence is the only thing that I would do separately would be the thermometer.
Okay. I get so much more every time I hear you speak on these, because you break it down so that we average everyday people can certainly understand, because the time that you're allotted, most people are allotted in their medical professional visits is very short. And that was one of the things that caused me to start tracking my information from one doctor's visits to another, because I'm like, well, you know, I can't just sit here and try and think off the top of my head, well, what happened? Oh, I forgot I had that fever for a week, you know, since I've seen them and things like that. So it was just one of those situations where I thought I was getting better health care, you know, by telling them and keeping track of my own progress. And you talked about diabetes and sugar intoxication, and I just want to hit on that real quickly, and then we're going to go to the announcement. You know, a lot of people feel like if they're not eating all the excess sweets and foods that the family have eaten normally, eaten normally during the holiday periods, that they're not being true to their heritage or their family or their culture or something like that. And what I wanted to add here, and I think I said it on the show not long ago, is that for me, I didn't have any type of issue, or so I thought, with sugar until I went on a fast, on a detox, and I had a hard time releasing breath mints. And that was just so interesting to me. It was one of those aha moments, like, what? Well, that's nothing but pure sugar, you know? So
you can be a little bit forgiving with yourself when you're talking about breath mints. Real quick, 30-second synopsis here. They add, especially to candies and gums, something called aspartame and another one called acesulfame potassium. These are things that are hundreds of times sweeter than plain old sugar. Likewise, high fructose corn syrup. And the result of that is they stimulate your dopamine centers. And I've had people that used to smoke crack cocaine and shoot heroin, and they said it was harder to kick sugar than it was to kick the drugs. That is by design.
Yes.
So it's
yes.
one thing, even if you're eating, let's say, chocolate, and the chocolate has cocoa plus sugar. It's another thing if you're eating your average candy bar that's got about seven different, even the energy bars, even the so-called health food energy bars, when they've got aspartame or acesulfame potassium in those things are designed. They're designed to hook you. And people
yes.
actually have withdrawal. That's a whole, I'd be very pleased to come and rant and rave about that. How they
okay. So you guys, you've heard us mention and kind of keep you in suspense around a couple of things that's about to take off. So what we have coming up is a panel show, a panel discussion. And we want to have it around the different viewpoints on the vaccination. It's an educational type of panel discussion. People will talk from their particular perspectives and how they look at it, the yays, the nays, the reasons why, and you know, whatever they want to use to support their particular position. And so we're looking for maybe two to three additional people that would be willing to come on with educated knowledge around the subject so that we can have the discussion. We have Sister Karima, we have Nurse Harriet, who both want to be a part of that discussion so that we can sit down and like we do every week, you know, and just be as transparent as possible. And now Sister Karima is talking about the nutritional part. We also want to do a panel discussion on nutrition and what that looks like from various aspects, you know, like the home gardener or the person that is vegetarian or pescatarian or whatever, you know, but to break it down, to bring you different voices around the same subject. So you got Sister Karima's email address. If you're interested or would like to be a part of one of these panels, please, please, please give me a email. Send me an email at lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com. Let me know which one of these shows you would like to be part of with the panel discussion. And myself, Sister Karima, or Sister Harriet will get back in contact with you, you know, to have a little interview to see, you know, like, is it a good fit for all of us to be in this panel? I'll probably serve as the moderator of the panel and not necessarily be a active part of it. I know that this is dynamic information that we have not had. I've not heard of it happening anywhere. And so to have a show at that caliber is just instrumental to all of our survival. So, again, email me, Sandy Rogers, at lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com. And I'm going to let Sister Karima go ahead and give her email one more time. And then we're going to get on out of here, and we'll be back next week. So, Sister Karima, if you would, please, your contact
yes,
information
ma'am.
Once.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. It's 1-O-N-E, sacred, S-A-C-R-E-D, service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E, at yahoo.com. 1 sacred service at yahoo.com.
And sincere, sincere, sincere thank you. Much gratitude for all of the information that you shared with us tonight. Man, you are just absolutely incredible. And I look to keep sitting at your feet and gathering and collecting information that you have to share. And I thank you, everybody. I thank you for listening, for participating. And remember, it's all about life.
Sandy?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Sandy. Please have ask your listeners to email me with any questions that they have. And the next time that I come on, I'll be happy to answer them, or, you know, either I can answer them directly through the email. Any questions?
Excellent.
Since we didn't have a chance to entertain the questions here, I do excuse me for jumping
in.
I just want to get that before you jump off.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what happened. So next time we're going to have to stop. We're going to have to add some time to the show. We'll do it that way.
Okay.
But thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next week, same time. We are right at the end of the show. I love all of you. Happy, joyous, holy days. And may your time with your family be absolutely spectacular. We'll see you next week, you guys.
Bye.